Over the last few weeks, you've been thinking a little bit about faith and feelings. And I was asked this morning to speak about regret. I don't know why John asked me to speak about regret, but if truth be told, regret is a feeling with which I am very well acquainted, perhaps too much so. Many of you will be familiar or have been familiar with the story of Samson and Delilah. Obviously, you've just watched it on the screen there. But I believe of all stories in the Bible, this has perhaps not the most, but it's certainly got a lot to teach us about regret. It's got a lot to teach us about regret. Before we look at the passage, let me give you just a little bit of context. Samson was born in Israel around about 1100 BC. That's more than 3,000 years ago, at a time when Israel was ruled by judges. Samson was set apart by God to lead Israel, which he did for 20 years. And all the while, Israel was subject to Philistine rule. He was one of the last judges before Israel became a monarchy and King Saul was appointed, or anointed, should I say. Now, our story this morning is from Judges chapter 16. Let's read that together. I think it's page 259 in the Pew Bibles, but you can follow it on the screen. I think we'll read probably from verse 4 because it's quite a long passage. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength, and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Surely that would be setting off some alarm bells. Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me secretly or securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric of the loom and tighten it with a pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. And she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used in my head," he said, "because I've been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep in her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes. I think that's why the video stopped where it did. And took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding corn in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow back again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple and the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more people when he died than while he lived. Does anyone here like fishing? Do we have any? One person? Anyone? Anyone else? No one else? We've got a couple. Well, the first time I went fishing, I was about 8 years old. My parents had bought a caravan. It was basic, but decent enough. And it gave us the freedom to travel around the country and see places we couldn't otherwise have seen. Anyway, one summer we stayed in a place called Gairloch, up in the northwest of Scotland. It's really hard to beat in good weather. The place is honestly stunning, except for the midges. There were so many midges. There is Gairloch. The campsite is right beside the beach. It's one of the best beaches, apparently, on the North Coast 500. Now, if you're planning a trip to some remote part of the country, and parents will know, especially if you have young children, you need to bring your own entertainment. Remember, we are talking years here before mobile phones and Wi-Fi. So my dad decided to buy a boat. Now, he was a teacher. He wasn't exactly loaded, so we're not talking super yacht here. It was more like a rubber inflatable dinghy. You had to blow the thing up, but it was decent. It had an outboard motor, and it was actually pretty fast. I found a photo that might give you an idea of what I'm talking about. There you go. Isn't that cute? What happened, eh? Now, my dad wasn't a fisherman, but he thought we should give it a go. So off we went to the shop and bought a couple of rods and reels, one each for my sister and for me, some lures, and a wee pocketbook, a beginner's guide to sea fishing. Now, it was a cracking day, and we set out in the boat. My dad set up the rods. It took some time, especially to tie the knots, get the right knots. We were reading this wee manual as we went. And then we dropped our lines and started trawling. There wasn't any bait, just this shiny fishing lure It's a shiny piece of metal with a triple hook on the end of it. And the shiny metal moving through the water looks like a little fish. Bigger fish come along and obviously think, oh, here's an easy meal. But when they try to eat it, they get snagged. Now, after no more than a few minutes, the fish had started nibbling away. And it was a proper rush. We'd never felt anything like it. It was great. And both my sister and I started to reel in the fish. And soon we could see what we had on the end of our lines. And to our surprise, there wasn't just one fish, but there were several. There was no way we were going to touch them. That's what dads are for. They were alive and ugh. But he had no clue what he was doing. Absolutely no clue. I mean, I was holding up my rod as he tried to grab this fish. Eventually managed to get the first one off the hook. But how was he supposed to kill it? We were not prepared. It was like a scene from a comedy horror. You know, the fish was flapping about in the floor of the boat, and he managed to pick it up, battered it over the head with the boat anchor, and then the dead fish slipped out of his hands over the side of the boat and escaped. You know, it's an experience I will never forget. You know, it's a fun story, but my point really is about lures. The shiny bits of metal that attract the fish. And I remember at the time thinking, they must be pretty dumb to fall for that. They must be pretty dumb to fall for that. Samson was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. Now, this meant for his whole life he had to refrain from drinking wine. Neither was he allowed to cut his hair, nor was he to have any contact with corpses, even those of deceased family members or graves, anything that would make him unclean. Now, as a Nazarite, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Samson, and he was blessed with superhuman strength. He made enemies of the Philistines, but they were unable to subdue him. At one time in the previous chapter, we're told he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. But despite his great strength, he also had his weaknesses. Samson, you see, was a bit of a ladies' man, and he was particularly attracted to Philistine women, and this would prove to be his greatest weakness and ultimately his undoing. He fell in love, as we know, with Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we might tie him up and subdue him." Now, each of these rulers promised to give Delilah 13 kilograms of silver. 13 kilograms. That's a serious amount of money. Samson, we're told, loved Delilah, but I'm not entirely convinced she felt the same way. And if she did, she certainly loved the promise of silver more. That's for sure. So she tried to lure Samson into showing her the secret of his great strength. First, it was 7 fresh bowstrings. The men who were lying in ambush came out, but he snapped the strings. The second time, it was securely with new ropes. That didn't work either. Then the braids of his head woven into the fabric of the loom. That didn't work either. And then Delilah was furious. What a cheek. You know, she's trying to betray the guy, trying to hand him over to be killed, or to be captured at least, for money, and she's upset with Samson. Absolutely no right. Anyway, she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me?" I'm sure there are at least a couple of men in here who have heard that story before. How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength. But she nagged him day after day until he couldn't stand it any longer, and he finally told her the truth. If his head were to be shaved, his strength would leave him. And so Delilah, we know, was able to subdue Samson, and she handed him over to the Philistines. Samson had failed. Samson had failed. Not just himself, but he'd failed God and his people, Israel. Remember, he was Israel's judge. Let me bring us back to the fish. They were attracted by the metal lure as it moved through the water. They were caught because they didn't know any better. They were caught because they didn't know any better. Samson was attracted to Delilah. He couldn't help that. But he should have left the moment he realized she had betrayed him. Samson actually knew Delilah's game. He just thought he could outplay her. But he was very wrong. He allowed his attraction to get in the way of common sense. He was actually dumber than the fish. He was dumber than the fish because he should have known better. Regret is a conscious, negative, emotional reaction to an undesirable situation. It's a bit like disappointment, but it relates to our perception of control. What do I mean? It's that feeling we have after making a decision when we should have known better. It's the feeling we have after making a decision when we should have known better, when we could have done something differently. And our best defense against regret, what do we think our best defense against regret might be? Anyone? Anyone brave enough to give it a go? Try to make things good. Okay, that's a possibility. Not right though. Our best defense against regret is not to make poor decisions in the first place. Not to make the bad decisions in the first place. Now, I realize we're all human. We all mess up from time to time. But there are quite often practical steps we can take, depending on the situation, to minimize the likelihood of our making a bad choice. I read this story thinking about things that attract me. Things that make me stumble. The Bible talks a lot about sin. That's the wrong stuff we do. And the problem with sin is that it can be incredibly attractive. Sometimes, in fact, so desirable that we choose to stay in the game, trusting, hoping that we'll be able to outplay our opponent. It's brinksmanship, though. It's a dangerous game to play. Take it so far and no further. It's a dangerous game, and we know it. Don't be dumber than the fish. Samson had to live with the consequences of his failure. His eyes were gouged out. He became their entertainment. How humiliating. Chained up and blind. I have absolutely no doubt that Samson would have been full of regret. Maybe it played out something like this. If only I hadn't met Delilah. If only I had walked away. If only I'd kept my mouth shut. If only. If only. I still regret decisions I've made in years gone by. And I have to live with the earthly consequences of my actions. But in Christ, we stand forgiven. That's the good news. In Christ, each one of us stands forgiven. He dealt with our guilt. He dealt with our shame. He dealt with our regret on the cross. No longer do these hold any power over you. None. And if they do, can I encourage you, please, to seek prayer after the service? Because they should not hold power over you. In prison, Samson's hair soon began to grow back, and he was brought out to entertain the crowd. Asking God for one final burst of strength, he pushed the central support pillars of the temple apart. Remember, there were 3,000 people on the roof, and the temple was packed. It collapsed, killing Samson along with all those Philistines. And there's an interesting narrative comment. So he killed more people on the day he died than he had during his entire lifetime. And remember, he ruled as a judge for 20 years. Let's face it, sometimes we mess up big time. And we may have to live with the consequences of our actions. But let this story encourage you. Because not only are we forgiven in Christ, but this story tells us that God can still use us, no matter how much we've messed up, to fulfill His purposes. He can still use us to great effect. He can still use us to great effect. We just have to come back to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this story of Samson and Delilah. And we thank You for what it teaches us about regret. Lord, we think upon our own lives and we think about the times that we have messed up. And Lord, we know that sometimes we still have to live with the consequences of our poor decisions. Forgive us. Forgive us with that forgiveness that's found in Christ. And fill us with Your Holy Spirit to enable us to make good decisions each and every day. Lord, forgive us for the times that we think we can play the game and outplay our opponent. When we engage in brinksmanship, when we see how close we can get to the edge of the cliff without falling off. Forgive us and give us the strength to endure and to honor You. But we thank You, Lord, that because of Jesus, because of the cross, because He dealt with our guilt, with our shame, and with our regret. We stand forgiven. And we thank you that if we come back to you, if we humble ourselves before you, you will still use us for the furtherance of your kingdom, to fulfill your kingdom purposes. And Lord, you are able to turn a bad situation into something that brings you great glory. In Jesus' name, amen.